morning to everyone. Let me introduce first the team, which is today with me. I have Gary Mazzotti with me, who is CEO of EPIF, EPIF Infrastructure. I have Filip Bělák, who is CFO of EPIF Power Europe. I have also Tomáš Měřadský with me, who is deputy CFO, CFO of EPH, and Václav Paleček, who is finance director of EPIF. I have a relatively broad team with me, which on one hand we are trying to show commitment of ourselves to investors and our creditors and other financing counterparties. And the other point is also that we have very good floor for potential Q&A in the, at the end of the presentation, which may come. So let me start with the presentation. We are now at the page 4. First, what EPH is. EPH is a unique vertically integrated utility, which covers complete value chain from gas transmission, gas storage, gas heat and electricity distribution and supply, and highly efficient cogeneration as well as power and heat generation. I'm proud to announce that 2021 was a very successful year for EPH. The pro forma adjusted EBITDA was 2.3 billion euros, which is a year-on-year increase from 2.1, which we have recorded in 2020. Net leverage was at the level of 1.9 times EBITDA, again slight increase compared to 2020. And group cash flow conversion ratio was 81%, which is more or less the same compared to 2020, which shows that first the group increased the profitability, the group decreased the leverage, and secondly the group keeps above average cash generation or cash conversion ratio compared to peer group of electricity utilities in Europe. I think what is also important for EPH is that we have a relatively very stable business, which showed not only in 2020-2021 during the COVID situation, but also our business model is very well positioned also to sustain the current very challenging market situation which we face. I think there are two major reasons for that. One is that the business of EPH is based on a very stable long-term contracted and regulated businesses, which create more than 60% of EBITDA in 2021. The other point is that our business model is also based on negatively correlated businesses which we have in the portfolio, which we will talk a little bit later about. The other very important aspect of our group is very low leverage. As I mentioned, 1.9 times EBITDA recorded at the end of 2021. What is also important to add to it is that in 2021 we were able to substantially prolong the debt maturity profile of the group. So from the current perspective, we are relatively on the safe side from refinancing perspective and refinancing profile of the group. Last but not least, as we are energy business who is generating power, we are exposed to ESG challenges. What has to be mentioned here is that the group is first one of the largest and most advanced decarbonizers in Europe. If you look at our numbers and you see our history for the past 7 years, you could see that we have saved almost 38% of CO2 emissions compared to 2015, which in fact means that we are saving on comparable basis 25 million tons of CO2 per year, which in our view is a great result and we are proud of it. This is not only about saving, because obviously we are in the environment where you have to transit the economy from high emission sources to low emission sources, and we are very active also in the area of investment into zero or low emission sources, where we have already invested roughly 1 billion euros and we plan to invest another 1.4 billion euros. And in addition to it, we are one of the largest developers of renewables in Germany. Now we can go to the page 5, which tries to summarize the strengths of the group. I think that the strengths of the group could be summarized similarly to what I have already said on the previous page. First, the financial standing of the group. As I said, very low leverage. We have managed to prolong the debt maturity profile of the group. The EBITDA was growing. We also kept a very high liquidity buffer at the end of the year, which was at the level of 2.5 billion euros, and we are still trying to increase our liquidity by negotiating and attracting new financing from the banks, which we have managed to, in the past 6 months, we have managed to increase our financing by more than 1 billion euros. So this is financial strength of the group. It is about resilient business model of the group. As I mentioned, it is based on two major pillars. One pillar is that the group relies on contracted and regulated businesses, which create more than 60% of the group. And the other point is that the businesses of the group or within the groups are negatively correlated, which creates additional diversification and stability for the group. Third pillar is ESG, and I have to say that it's not only about environment or governance, it's also very important about social aspect of our operations, and there are two important aspects which I would like to mention. First is that we as EPH are providing controllable and stable power generation to network, which is even more important nowadays in the current situation around Ukraine and Russia, and around the security of supply for Europe. So from that perspective, the social aspect is very much important for us to provide controllable and sustainable and secured power generation for and delivery of other commodities for our customers and to the market. Second, a very important social aspect is that we are in a transition period from high emission sources to low emission sources. We as EPH employs directly in a consolidated scope 11,000 people, in a broader scope 25,000 people, and for us it's very much important to secure a future for these people, for their families, and also for the broader economy, which relies on our companies, which we operate. One of the examples is the company LAG. If you look at LAG, the headquarters is in the city called Cottbus. LAG is having 8,000 people, which means over 20,000 people which are in their families. And the overall economy which relies on LAG in fact represents the whole city of Cottbus. So for us to change LAG from a coal generation to different company which will be a zero or low emission generation company is very, very important, because this is a real mission. Last but not least, the fourth pillar for EPH is management and people which we are working with. I have to say that EPH has a very, very stable and very, very experienced management. I think this is what differs us from others, because we are a privately owned company, so we are not subject to quarterly reporting, like publicly traded companies, so the management can really focus on long-term strategy of the company, less so for short-term. So we are able to sacrifice short-term goals for long-term one. If we can move to page number 6, please. EPH at glance. As I said, EPH is vertically integrated group. In principle, it consists from two major subgroups. One is called EP Infrastructure. As the name shows, it's the group which is very much in the infrastructure business, energy infrastructure business. It consists of four businesses: gas transmission in Slovakia, gas and power distribution in Slovakia, gas storage in Slovakia and Czech Republic, and heat infrastructure in the Czech Republic. It generates roughly 55% of EPH EBDA in 21, and this is the major part of the regulated and long-term contracted business in EPH. It is the group which is owned together with Macquarie-led investors, 69% owned by EPH, 31% by Macquarie-led investors. The other arm of EPH is EP Power Europe, which is electricity generation company operating in the UK, Italy, France, Germany, and also is the company who owns the lignite mine in Germany. The company generated EBITDA of roughly 1 billion euros in 2021, which represents roughly 45% of overall EBITDA of EPH. Again, when we were creating the group, we tried to put together a bunch of assets which are not only merchant, but also which are very much contracted or semi-regulated, which we can talk about a bit later. And this is the major part of the group where we invest into transition from high emission sources into low one or zero one. And as I already mentioned, we have already invested 1 billion euros in such investments, and we plan to invest another, or we have already committed to 1.3, 1.4 billion euros in following years. Page 7. This is brief summary of our financials for 2021 and previous years. I think if you look at the revenues and total assets of the group, you can see a substantial jump year on year. The reason is relatively very simple. This is because of the fact that this is because of the growth of commodity prices mainly, and the growth is really substantial because we went up in terms of revenues. We went up from 8.5 to almost 19 billion euros. Similar growth you can see also in case of total assets. If you look at adjusted EBITDA, I think the growth from 2021 compared to 2020 can be clearly seen in our ability to take advantage of the increased commodity prices, and we will discuss it later on. But year on year, the EBITDA of EP Power Europe increased by 84%, which on one hand is attributable to the growth of the group itself, but mainly to a growth of commodities and our ability to take advantage out of it. If you look at net leverage ratio, you can see that we are trying to be very, very conservative in our financial policies. So the group year on year slightly decreased the leverage to 1.9 times EBITDA, which put us, at least in our view, at the level of peers which are investment grade rated. I think what is also important to say that we were able to achieve such a leverage or such a decrease of leverage despite the fact that all the commodities went up, which obviously put the pressure on our working capital and other needs, liquidity needs of the group. If we can go to the page 8, please. I think it's important and it's fair also to touch the current situation which arises from the military invasion into Ukraine. Despite the horrible things which are happening there, obviously we now unfortunately have to discuss also the ability of EPH to sustain such a situation, because it has a dramatic, or it had a dramatic impact on the energy market. I think I would mention here three major arguments why we believe that EPH is very well prepared even for such a disruption in the market. First argument is the business model of the group. As I mentioned, first, we are very much based on regulated businesses and on long-term contracts, which in principle provide very stable and sustainable and resilient revenues for the group and EBITDA generation. That's one point. The other point is also that the group was built in a way that we have negative correlation among businesses, which we have within the group. The major negative correlation is between gas transition and power generation. So if there is a situation where there is limited or no flows from Russia to Europe, then obviously we will, as a group, lose some money, potentially some money in our gas transmission business. But at the same time, what we will see are highly elevated prices of all commodities in Europe, which will lead, and the rest of the group will be, the power generation part of the group will benefit out of it, and will generate huge profits, which will more than balance the potential losses in transmission business. What has to be said here is that the transmission business is a company called Eustream, which is based in Slovakia. And you have to see Eustream as a crossroad for gas flows in the region. So it's not only the company which is transiting the gas in a traditional way from east to west, but this is also the company which is able to transit the gas west to east. And from June this year, the company will be also able to transmit the gas or transit the gas in the direction from north to south and south to north. So even if there is no flow out of Russia, it is clear that the company will have a very stable position in a merit order and flows in Europe. And therefore, to expect that if there is no flow from Russia to Europe, that the company is not having enough flows is, in our view, not a fair view of the situation. And you simply cannot expect that the company will post zero EBITDA or whatever similar to it. The second important point, apart from I think very stable and resilient business model of the company is financial performance and financial stability and position of the company, because as you saw from the previous pages, the company entered 2022 in a very healthy financial situation, having leverage 1.9, having huge cash buffer, and the guys from financing department were able even increase the liquidity buffers through banks by more than 1 billion euros. So the company is well equipped to deal with the current challenging situation. Last but not least, the investors of EPF saw several public relations issued by EPF in cooperation with the shareholders of EPF, which are saying that until the situation is going to be more stable and transparent in terms of Ukrainian-Russian situation, then until then the company will not pay, meaning EPF will not pay any dividends to shareholders. So obviously for financing counterparties of EPH, it is very important to understand what it means for EPH. And for EPH, it means that EPH is not dependent on dividends out of EPF at all. If you look at EBITDA of EP Power Europe in 2021, it was almost 1 billion euros. If you look at the leverage of EPH plus EP Power Europe, excluding EPF, the leverage was below one time EBITDA. So it is absolutely unlevered part of the group. So the dependency on dividends from EPF is negligible, and the stability of the financing at EPH level is very well positioned. So this is these were three important arguments how we approached and how we see the EPH in the situation of current challenging market situation. So first, a good business model. Second, very healthy financial standing of EPH. Third, EPH is not dependent on EPF, EPF's dividends, and we can deal with the current very low leverage of an indebtedness of EPH only based on EP Power Europe gas generation. Obviously also power generation, which then leads to gas generation. Now I will pass the word to Tomáš to go through two following slides. Slide number nine.
I think what we try to outline here is effectively the net leverage and the calculation related to the net leverage, which is leading to approximately 1.9 times leverage. What you can see, and I would just know that you can see substantially higher or increased cash position, and so increase of the gross debt. It's just the prudency measure that we did towards the end of the year due to volatility in the market. There is nothing more behind that. Otherwise, we maintain and keep very low indebtedness, as I've already said. If you look on the allocation of the debt, majority of the debt is in the infrastructure part, within the EPH and EP Power Europe. It's a relatively smaller portion, approximately 20% of the overall group indebtedness. And we maintain the same policies and strategies we were implementing or keeping in previous years. What we just did is that the liquidity is on the top priority list, and we really do follow the liquidity of the group, maintaining sufficient headrooms for the unforeseen that we unfortunately see to happen nowadays. If you move to slide number 10, here what we prepared for you is the outline of the debt maturity profile. And also you see the major achievements on the financing side during last year, where we have raised new facilities on the EPH level to support the liquidity of the group outside of the EPIC that allowed us to effectively substantially remove the indebtedness from the EP Power Europe, and we have the EPH as the key funding entity for the rest of the group. We also substantially extended the maturity profile, so if you look in the first column, you see the cash position, and then you see in 2022 and 23, we have very small maturities, so the first bigger maturities are coming in 2024, which is why, and as Paul has said, we believe we are very well prepared for the current volatilities in the market, with which we can cope, we believe, quite well. And now I think I will hand over to Gary Mazzotti for the EPIF side.
Thank you, Thomas. So we'll go quickly to page 13. Paul has taken us through a lot of this, but EPIF, remains invested in critical energy infrastructure. Our strategy remains unaltered in that we wish to be in businesses which are either regulated or long-term contracted, with a commonality of significant cash flow generation from a low level of sustainable maintenance capex. We operate predominantly in three markets, Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Germany. We have four key divisions, gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage, and heat infra. Our businesses have stable cash flow. Our adjusted EBITDA for last year was 1.3 billion, and we had a strong cash conversion ratio of 88% in 2021. The assets, or the major assets in Slovakia, continue to be owned in joint venture with the Slovak Republic that owns 51% of our businesses, Ustream, SPPD, and SSD. We own 49% with full management control. EPIF is a leader in Central Eastern Europe with regards to ESG and was indeed the first company to receive an ESG rating by Standard & Poor's. We also have a risk rating of 20 from Sustainalytics, which places us in a low risk category. I'm sure there'll be more questions on EPIF, but that's just a summary. And now I pass to Philip Bielak, who's the CFO of EP Power Europe.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you. So just a couple of highlights regarding EP Power Europe. As Pavel was highlighting, the group is operating controllable assets across Western Europe. That's very topical because we are engaged in countries such as the UK, Italy, Ireland, France, or Germany. What is also very important that the fleet that we are operating is controllable asset, meaning that we are very much loved by the TSOs in those countries because we are flexibly able to operate those plants and run it up, run it down based on the needs of the system, which was very key specifically in 2021 because of the fact that as COVID-19 was just going down, the need for energy really ramped up, and also due to the geopolitical constraints in Q4, some of the plants, not all of them, but some of the plants were also running base load, which is obviously key for markets to stabilize the security of supply. So that was of the benefit to the overall group in financial terms, of course. But it's one of the key duties clearly of those plants to be in that position. Nevertheless, in addition to the traditional plants that we are operating, meaning primarily gas plants, we also do operate specific renewable plants, such as the biomass, which is obviously state-of-the-art typically and very technically difficult to construct and then to operate, but I have to say that we were again successful in that year. We have those operations in the UK and in Italy, as you might know. What is also quite key to understand is the financial performance of the group, of course. We were saying that the group itself went quite dramatically up over the last year, which was a function of increased production, clearly increased commodity prices, but also the fact that we were asked by the TSOs, and we were in a merit order in such that most of the plants were really running baseload operations and providing much needed energy to the market in those problematic days, specifically Q4. So speaking of that, the adjusted EBITDA of the group reached approximately 1 billion, which is 84% up against 2020. What is also fundamental to understand is that typical utility companies do not achieve high cash conversion ratios. This is not the case of EP Power Europe, which then means really dramatic ability to produce liquidity in terms of cash conversion ratio, which we do observe and do monitor as a key KPI on EP Power Europe. We were achieving roughly 73%, meaning that we were able to convert 73% of adjusted EBITDA after capex into cash flows, which is obviously key for the benefit of the whole group. I would also highlight that within that number is also included something like 160 million of new CapEx, new development CapEx. So despite really heavy investments, we are able to operate the plants really super efficiently. Having said that, that has, of course, impact on the net leverage profile. As Tomáš was saying before, EPH was able to refinance pretty much all of the external debt of EP Power Europe within 2021. So having said that, the net leverage of the group is fairly close to zero. It's even negative if we do exclude the loans from EPH. Right. In terms of environmental effectiveness, if you will, I'm proud and happy to say that we have something like 75% of overall installed capacity coming from zero or low carbon intensive sources, which is super important. The remaining roughly 25% is in coal, but at the same time, it's necessary to say that we do have coal operations in the region specifically where there is scarcity of electricity, of energy. So these plants are running typically on constraint, being asked by the operators, by the TSOs to run. That's one specific example for that, for example, Sardinia. Without that, Sardinia would be without electricity, without the plant that we have there. A very similar situation is in Kilroot, which is the Northern Ireland part of the UK, very similar. At the same time, if you do have a look at the, let's say, future prospects of the group and environmental touch, if you will, then we were saying that we have really massive plans of deployment of low emission sources, zero emission sources in the future. Pavel was saying that we have been investing already over 1 billion in the sources in the past. To top it, we have already committed to new sea projects, which I will be discussing shortly later, located in Ireland, Northern Ireland, in Italy, where the new installed capacity will be roughly 2.6, 2.7 gigawatts. And the capex that we will be devoting to that is approximately 1.4 billion, but we will be still touching that. What is also quite interesting, I think, to note that clearly renewable energy will be also one of the fundamentals within the group. Again, like highlighted by the guys before, so we have quite extensive programs to invest into renewables, specifically in Germany, where we own the land plots already. It's typically part of the existing mining operations we have there, and we have existing projects in place of multi-gigawatts scale to be basically invested over the next years. So there is quite a huge investment program in front of us, obviously, which would be then greatly benefiting the overall structure of environmental footprint. I think with that, we can probably move to the next slide, just to highlight some of these projects. I think it's important to highlight those because clearly what is happening, as we were saying many times before, we are decommissioning the old hard coal and lignite plants within the EPH or EPP group, but at the same time, it's notable to say that we do clearly commit to new investments. Right. So speaking of that, we have selected four projects that are currently ongoing or close to commence. It's critical to understand and to give you a little bit of flavor or let's say background behind it. You see that all of these projects are being basically auctioned for capacity provision within, say, the next 10 to 15 years, right? So we build those plants specifically with the aim to run those, to provide basically much needed capacity in the markets that are constrained. And for that, we are getting remuneration, which obviously places, you know, EPP in a region that there is quite a high visibility of performance for those projects. So that's very important. Speaking a little bit in detail, I was talking about Kilroot, which is currently hardcore plant in Northern Ireland. We have a project, and the project has already started to construct new OCGT, open cycle gas turbine project. For that, we have secured Siemens turbines. The installed capacity is to be roughly 700 megawatts. And for that, we have auctioned and we have won in a tender several 10-year capacity contracts that are then launching in October 2023 and October 2024. So again, like, the capacity is basically secured through these capacity contracts. Second project, which is quite similar in nature, is TINA, OCGT again, in the Republic of Ireland. If you recall, there is a plant that we have there already, OCGT plant, that we run there. This is again, let's say, a situation where the market is very constrained. There is a lack of capacities. The regulator clearly would like to secure much needed capacity for the upcoming years. So therefore, in this case, we again won a project which was auctioned. So by that, we will be constructing OCGT, roughly 350 megawatts. Which will be then placed to the system, and there is a 10-year capacity contract that will be there in place. And the FID, we do expect to have it in this year, 2022, with the construction to start fairly immediately after that. As you see, the contract is valid from October 2024, so there is quite a decent time to construct the OCGT. Then there are two large projects in Italy, Northern Zone, Tavazzano, Ostiglia. It's again very similar situation. As you might know, Northern Italy is having certain issues with capacities. There is a capacity market in place already. The regulator was issuing tenders to provide additional much needed capacity in the future, we actively participated in these tenders, and we won basically capacities to procure for two projects, one in Tavazzano and the other one in Ostiglia, with a capacity 800 megawatts and 880 megawatts for the other one. There is a reference here, it's a CCGT project, meaning that basically we will be constructing plants that would be able to provide capacity as well as baseload, and obviously will be quite interesting, let's say, performance wise. In terms of that, you might be seeing that, well, we have quite a lot of gas projects. Yes, my question might be, where do we take the gas? So the situation is fairly easy. As you know, the markets are pretty much connected. It's free market, so we buy pretty much all the gas on the market. We do hedge, and I think that we might be discussing that later. All basically CLX, gas, power, and carbon. So that's what we typically do as typical utility, so no surprise there. And yes, so I think this is regarding the new project of EPP. So again, very interesting prospects of the group probably for the future, given the current situation. We do not sit and wait. We do invest into future, so that's happening. And also it has quite a high impact on environmental footprint. And with that, I would hand over to Gary probably to walk you through ESG topics and what's happening there.
Maybe I will just jump in to summarize why we are doing these projects. First is definitely ESG reason, because we are replacing old gas and old coal capacities, and clearly we are decreasing the CO2 footprint of this power generation capacity. The other point is also that if you look at it, we have been awarded by 10 or 15 years capacity fee payment schemes, which in principle means that you are paid for installed capacity ready to deliver power into the grid, which is precisely what we are looking for, which is I would call it a semi-regulated business or long-term contracted business. So this will definitely increase the stability of cash flow generated by the group in the future. So once these projects are done, then it will automatically mean that the overall EBITDA, which is generated from long-term contracted and regulated businesses, will increase. And now I just pass over to Gary to continue with ESG topics.
Thanks, Pavel. If we move quickly to page 17, it's basically a summary of EPH with its subsidiaries, EP Infrastructure and EP Power Europe. The group as a whole is taking an active role. In fact, it's one of the leading groups in both the transformation of the energy system in Europe and also the transitioning of Europe to ultimately a carbon neutrality. EPH itself overall is committed to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050, and indeed those of you that know EP Infrastructure is committed as one of those sub-goals to achieve its carbon neutrality by 2040. There are a number of medium-term goals which we outline on the right side of the page. The first and key is that we will reduce our CO2 emissions by 60% from our existing generating plants by 2030. The 60% reduction is from 2020 levels, so actually makes our group far more aggressive than some other targets that are out there. We also commit firmly to zero coal as a primary source of generation by 2030. As some of you remember last year's presentation, this is outside of Germany, where we go in line with the German authorities with their phase-out acts, and we work side by side with Germany in the precise timing of when coal will be phased out in the German market. Thirdly, we will become a European front runner in the transition to a hydrogen future. As some of you know, EPIF is committed to using its infrastructure both in transmission, distribution, storage, and in fact in district heating, to using hydrogen as the main transition tool through to 2040 and beyond. EPH itself is committed to building out and transitioning its power units to hydrogen in the future, and plays a key role in taking CO2 out. And finally, the finance team here is committed and fully working already on creating a green finance framework for the whole of the EPH capital structure, which ultimately also involves EP Infrastructure and EP Power Europe. If we move to page 18, we put here, basically on the left-hand side, key mission statements. We are committed to a low-carbon business model. We're not thinking about it. We're not wondering about it. We are fully committed and engaged and actually doing it right now. But we also must do this, and this is really relevant given what's happened to energy prices in the last few months. We must do this in a socially just energy transition. We must take the politics and the consumers along with us. So the first point backs up that point. The transition has to be socially just in order to ensure that we have a successful energy transformation. This is the heart of EPH's strategy. The second point is already that the group's financial performance is stemming significantly from infrastructure assets which already have a negligible CO2 output. Together with the renewable generation sources within EPH, these segments already contribute 68% of EPH adjusted EBITDA in 2021. The share of coal generation in our portfolio continues to decline. In 2021, it was 22%, of which over a quarter relates to the CHP units within EP infrastructure, which are already planned for transition to more sustainable forms of energy. These CHPs already today operate in a highly efficient cogeneration mode. Decarbonization efforts continue. As Philip and Pavel have outlined, we have real solutions across our whole portfolio. This is not merely offloading, as other companies do, or decommissioning. This is real transition from heavy CO2 generating capacity to low or zero carbon generating capacity. The initiatives that we have already done and already executed, EPH from 2015 to 2023, reduce annual CO2 emissions by 25 million tons. And we've already reduced our emission intensity of all the assets in the 2015-2021 period by 38%. Current operations, as Philip has outlined to you, is driven by the stability needs of the electricity grids. We have to work in line with the needs of Kilroot, for example, in Northern Ireland, in line with the needs of Fumasanti in Sardinia, and specifically in line with the needs and the requirements of the German state. We have to work in line with them to achieve carbon neutrality in line with their commitments. And finally, here on ESG, it's not just talk the talk, it's actually walk the walk. Philip has outlined to you already the massive investments that EP Power Europe has made, including now development of 4 modern and efficient OCGT, CCGT units in Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland and Italy, along with enormous renewable projects that Pavel outlined to you earlier in the east of Germany. So overall on ESG, EPH plays a core part in the transformation, will play a very key part in the transition. A low carbon, zero carbon outcome by 2050 can only be achieved by companies and groups that do the transition. And we're very proud at EPH that not only are we committed on paper, we're actually committed in reality and committed with regards to spending CapEx, both now and in the future. And that ends that. Key takeaways, which we'll pass over to Pavel.
Thank you very much, Gary. I think I will be very brief because I want to leave as much space for potential Q&A as possible. Please, if you can flip to page 20. I think what is important from my perspective as a takeaway is first, EPH is having a very good, resilient and stable business model. There are two reasons for that. One reason is that we rely on mainly on regulated and semi-regulated and long-term contracted businesses. That's the first point. And second point, we have negative correlation among these businesses, which help us in challenging situations like we are facing today. Second, EPH at the end of 2021, or EPH has entered, 2022, in a very good financial shape with the prolonged maturity profile with very low leverage and the EBITDA which we have achieved in 2021. Seems to also continue in 2022 because we believe that that the business of EP Power Europe is very strong this year, and we also hope that it will stay so in case of EPIF. Third point, we are very mindful about ESG. I think we are doing a lot of in the area of E. And we are investing heavy money into transformation of the overall industry, power generation industry and energy industry. I think what is even more important today, at least in my view, is the letter S, because we as a group provide our security of supply to European Union, in fact. Last but not least, EPH is managed by a group of very loyal people which are very experienced in this industry, and these people are working EPH for many years. And as I said, we are much more focused on long-term targets than short-term targets compared to our peers. So this is 2021 result presentation. There are following pages which describes in more detail the respective businesses within EPH to give you more detail. But I think for the time being, it's enough for the presentation. Thank you.